We now begin the 8th chapter of Maseches Sota. This is Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph. And really, this chapter is a standalone chapter which almost functions as if it were like a whole new Masechta, a Masechta to itself. The topic of the Meshuach Milchama, the Kohen who has been anointed and designated to speak to the Jewish troops before entering battle. We are talking about this here in Maseches Sota because back in Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis, we said there were 8 different halachic phenomena that had to be done in Lashon HaKodesh. One of those 8 was the speech that the Kohen Meshuach Milchama gives to the troops. It was actually the last on that list. We hear in Perek Ches discuss it before in Perek Tes, going back to the other topic listed in that Mishnah at the end, the second to last, which was the topic of the Egla Rufa. So it's a little out of order. And why that's the case, it's not perfectly clear. There's a Tosos here, Tosos Yom Tov discusses it. But anyways, we note that it's out of order relative to that Mishnah. In any case, this chapter stands alone, talking about the halachas that apply to going into war. I think to understand the chapter and see it in its structure, the best way is just to look at the whole section there in Shoftim, in Devarim, Perek Chaf, at the beginning of chapter 20 in Devarim. It talks about it, and we can divide those first 9 verses into 4 sections, which will parallel very neatly with the Mishnayos we're coming up to over here. So I'll read it inside. It says, Kiteitze l'milchama, when you go out to war, here you is a singular, kiteitze as opposed to a plural, suggesting that the Klal Yisrael is supposed to function as a single unit, like b'leivecha k'ishechad, al oivecha, against your enemies, V'ra'isa sus v'rechev amrav mimcha, and you see the horses and the chariots and a big population bigger than you. Lo sira mehem ki Hashem elokecha imach, hamalacha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid of them, because Hashem your God, the one who took you out of Egypt, is going to be with you. So that is just introductory. That's introductory. Now Pasuk Beis says, V'haya, and it will be, k'ravchem el milchama, when you draw close to the battle, the Nigesh HaKohen, V'diber El Ha'am. So the Kohen we're talking is about the Meshuach Milchama, the anointed Kohen for the job, specifically for this job. He will approach, and he will say the following, V'amar. Now, he says the following. This is what has to be said specifically in Lashon HaKodesh, as the Mishnah before it specified. Our Mishnah here, Mishnah Aleph, which of the chapter, which we'll really discuss this for a section at length, it actually explicates what he says a little further, and most Meforshim understand that the Kohen, Meshuach Milchama, actually can elaborate on the words of this verse. So it doesn't say the verse is verbatim according to most, and he says it in an elaborated way, but the whole speech that he gives must be done in Lashon HaKodesh, as per the requirements before, and we'll see the base of that in the Mishnah. Now, when he speaks, so the Kohen Meshuach Milchama speaks, and then there's another Kohen who amplifies his voice, repeating what he said much louder so everyone can hear. So that's what's happening, that will happen here in this first section. So it says, Va'amar, the Kohen Meshuach says, Aleihem Shema Yisrael, Va'amar Aleihem, and the Kohen Meshuach will say to them, Shema Yisrael, listen up, Jews, and the Gemara points out Shema Yisrael, because just by virtue of them having said Shema Yisrael morning and night alone would be enough to give them the schus to merit what we're talking about here in the rest of the verses. Atem kravim hayom l'milchama. Today you're approaching war. Al oyveichem, against your enemies. Al yerach levavichem, don't let your hearts be faint. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Val tachpazu, and don't panic. Val taratzu, and don't be broken. Mipneim, from before them. We'll explain these different, the Mishnah will explicate this a little bit. Ki Hashem alokeichem haolach imachem lehilachem, Lachem im oyveichem lohoishi eschem, because the Lord your God is going with you into battle to fight for you and to save you from them. So that those first 4 verses is, I'll call it part 1 of the 4 parts of this parsha, and that will be addressed all in the first Mishnah of our chapter. Then the second section of the Chumash here, it says v'dibru hashotrim el ha'am. So now the officers will speak, like military personnel will speak to the people. But the way that the Gemara understands this, and the Mishnah is to be understood, is that the Kohen Meshuach Milchama is still speaking here. Okay, he's speaking, but now in terms of the amplification that's done by repeating his voice louder, that will be done by the shotrim, by the military personnel, instead of by a kohen. So the shochrim, these officers, will say el ha'am to the people, lemor, saying, Mia isha sher bana bayis chadash velo chanchu yelech v'yashu levesel pen yamus b'melchama vish acher yachnechenu. If someone has now built a new house, he should go back to his home from the battlefront, so that another man shouldn't move into his home and inaugurate it should he die. Umia isha sher nata kerem, if someone planted a vineyard, below chillo, and he hasn't yet, I'll translate very loosely here, he hasn't got to eat the produce in the fourth year with revai, being able to deconsecrate the produce in Yerushalayim and eat it there. Yelech v'yashov l'vesel, let him go home, pen yamus b'melchama, lest he died in the war, v'ish acher yechalenu, and then someone else will be able to eat his grapes, enjoy his vineyard. Omia isha sher eras isha, and if there's a man here who has done the first step of marriage, legal marriage, let's call that engagement here for lack of a better translation, but erasin really is like marriage proper, but it's like legal marriage, but not a practical marriage. V'lo lakcha, and yet he hasn't actually taken her as a full wife, nesuin, like meaning functional marriage, that they live together. Yelech v'yashuv l'veso, pen yamus b'melchama ve'ish acher yekechena, lest he die in the battle, and then some other man take his fiancée, I'll call her, for lack of a better translation, his arusa. So these are three exemptions for people who are allowed to leave the battlefront. The Rambam learns we're talking here about only in a milchemes reshus do these apply. Milchemes reshus means an optional war. I mean, the Klal Yisrael decided to expand its borders, so it's going on a war, as opposed to a milchemes mitzvah, where there's some specific requirement to do the war, which would include protecting Jewish people from outside attack. So the Rambam learns these exemptions, these three exemptions, don't apply in a milchemes mitzvah, but they do in milchemes reshus. Interestingly, Rashi learns over there that the issue here is it would be like such a heartbreaking tragedy for something like this to occur, where a person, you know, got, I'll call it, engaged without getting married, or built a vineyard and never enjoyed the wine and so on. That's a fascinating idea. We have to discuss that another time. Others, however, learn, like the Rambam, that it's a more practical matter than like a heartbreaking, tragic, philosophical idea. It's that a person who sort of has built this house but hasn't lived in it, or this vineyard hasn't enjoyed its wine, or the wife who he never got to live with properly. So that person will be thinking about what he's going to be losing, and that will distract him from his ability to perform the war. And therefore he's sent back home. But the Rambam then says, even though he's not on the battlefront proper, he's still required to support the war effort by providing like food and water. So that's the second section, which is when the Kohen Meshuach Melchama speaks, but his voice is amplified by the Shotrim. And that will be the topic of the second and third mission of Aperek. Okay, now, in addition to those three exemptions, there's a fourth exemption, which is not mentioned in our Parsha. It's a different Pasuk. It's mentioned in Kisavo. It's Bamid, excuse me, Devarim, Perek Chavdal, Pasuk Hei, 24:5, where it says, Ki yikach ish isha chadasha, if a man gets newly married, lo yetze b'tzava, he shouldn't go out to the army, v'lo ya'avor alav l'chol davar, he shouldn't go out for other reasons, naki yeh leveso shana echas, he should be available to his wife for the first year, what we call shana rishona, v'simach es ishto asher lakach, and he'll rejoice his wife, or with his wife, machlok is there, that he took. Okay, so that is another exemption besides the three, the man who's in Shana Rishona. So Mishnah Dalet of our Perek will discuss that exemption, although it's not part of the Parsha back in the Shotrim. Shoftim. Then you have the Pasuk Ches, which is standalone, which is the Yasfu HaShotrim Ledaber El Ha'am. The Shotrim, the officers, will continue to speak to the people, and now this is them talking, not the Kohen Meshuach Melchama, and therefore this is a separate topic, one that doesn't necessarily need to be said in Hebrew, according to many. Mia ish hayarei, if someone is afraid, Barach HaLevav, and he's, you know, his heart is faint, Yelech v'yashuv leveso, let him go home now to his home, V'lo yim'as es levav echav kilvavo, lest his panic that he has now spread like a contagion to make everyone else nervous as well, which would undermine the success of the Jews. So that, Batzukhes, that's said just by the Shotrim, the officers, that's the topic of Mishnah Hay in our parak. And then finally, Pasuk Tes says, Vahaya kechalos hashotrim ladaber el ha'am. When the officers finish speaking to the people on the battlefront about to enter the war, ufaktu sari tzva'os barosh ha'am. And then, the officers, like the military personnel, now take charge to lead the people into battle. And that will be the topic of the last Mishnah Vav of our parak. Okay, so that's the structure of the topic here. Now, let's see Mishnah Aleph proper inside where we explain that first section. It says, Mashuach Milchama, the Kohen who has been anointed specifically to serve in battle. Now, according to Minchas Chinuch, for example, it's Ma'akev. He absolutely must be anointed with the anointing oil that was prepared back from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, like the Kohen Gadol is anointed. And without that anointing oil, you can't have a Kohen Mashuach Milchama. It just won't work. So that didn't exist in Baal Sheni since the oil was lost. When it comes to a Kohen Gadol, the truth is, although he's supposed to be anointed, he could also be appointed as a Kohen Gadol and made the Kohen Gadol by wearing the special 8 vestments that belong to the Kohen Gadol. But according to Mishnah Aleph, he just can't do that for Mashuach Milchama. Others disagree and say no, he could be appointed without the oil. There's also a separate discussion about what the Kohen Mashuach Milchama wears when he performs his functions. Some learn he wears the 8 begadim of the Kohen Gadol, amazingly. Okay, now, Bishashi Medaber El Ha'am, when he speaks to the people, Balashna Kodesh Haya Medaber, he must say his words in Lashna Kodesh, in Hebrew. That was why I brought this up in the first place. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, Vahaya, Ki karavchem el hamilchama v'nigash ha-kohen. When you approach the battle and the Kohen approaches, who's that Kohen? Zeh Kohen Mashuach Milchama. That's the Kohen specifically that's been anointed to do so. The necessity of that is actually learned on the Gemara, it's a drasha. V'diber el ha'am, b'lashon ha-kodesh. And it says, V'diber el ha'am, he'll speak to the people. And the Gemara makes a gzeirah shava from the word v'diber, just as Moshe, when it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says Moshe yidaber v'Elohim yanenu b'kol. Moshe would speak to Hashem, and Hashem would speak back to him in a voice, and that was Moshe speaking in Lashon HaKodesh, and Hashem responding back the same. So too, the Kohen Mashuach Milchama has to do his speaking in Lashon HaKodesh. Now we're going to start reading the verses. And we're going to explain them a little bit at length, as the Mishnah does. It says, Va'amar Alehim, and he says, Shema Yisrael, listen, Jews, he says to them, Atem Kreivim Hayom L'Milchama Aloi Veichem, today you're approaching battle against your enemies, so Aloi Veichem, against your enemies, V'lo Alachechem, they're not your brothers, says the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. So, meaning, Lo Yehuda al Shimon. We're not talking about some sort of internecine kind of civil war where Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, is fighting the Shevet of Shimon. Velo Shimon al Binyamin, and it's not Shimon attacking Binyamin. Exactly why the Tana chose these examples, there's discussion, not necessarily perfectly clear. But his point is, Sheim Tiplu Biadam, if you fall to the hands of your enemies, Yerachmu Aleichem, they won't have mercy on you, as your fellow Jew would in the event of some civil war. Kamash Ne'amar, as it says in the Pasuk. Now we're going to quote a Pasuk from Divrei Yamim base. It's Chronicles 2, where there was a terrible war between the north and the south, the northern kingdom of Israel against the southern kingdom of Yehuda. Northern kingdom won, and it says 120,000 Jewish men were killed and 200,000 women and children were taken captive, and they were brought back. Captives were brought back to the north. And then the Navi Oded, he really let them have it, and he said, basically, you're planning on taking your brothers to be slaves? What are you doing? Bring them back where they came from and return them. So that's what we say over here. The Pesukim say, Vayakuma anashim asher nikvu b'shemos, and the men who were mentioned by name got up, v'yachaziku v'shivya, and they took the captives, v'chol ma'arumehem, and all who didn't have clothing, Hilbishu min hashalal, the victors from the north, they dressed with the booty that was been captured, the victims who didn't have proper clothing. V'albishum, and they dressed them. This repetitive lashon says the Marsha may even use their own clothing to cover them up if needed to be. V'an ilum, they gave them shoes. V'achilum, they gave them food. V'yashkum, they gave them water to drink, etc. V'yasuchum, they gave them, like, anointed them if they needed, like, ointment on their skin and so on. V'nahalum, b'chamorim, kol l'chol koshel, anybody who was stumbling and couldn't walk by themselves, so they put them on donkeys so they could be helped to walk. V'yavium yurecho ir hatamarim, and they were brought to Jericho, the city of, you know, palm trees. Eitzel acheyam v'yashuvu shomron. So they, the victors from the north, returned their captives back to the south, and then they returned back to the Shomron to the north in Israel, the kingdom of Israel. So the point is, you see that the Jewish victors had mercy and were very kind to their victims ultimately. But this is not a war against your fellow Jew. It's a war al oyvechem, against your enemies. Atem holchim, that's who you're going to face. Shim tiplu biyadam ein merachmin aleichem. If you fall to them, they're not going to have mercy on you. Think about the Assyrians, how terrible they were, and so on. And therefore, you really should gird your loins, so to speak, and be ready to fight to the death. Don't be lax in your fighting them. The Mishnah continues, quoting from the verse, Al yirach levavchem, don't let your hearts be faint. Al tir'u v'al tachpazu, don't be afraid, don't panic. V'al ta'artzu mipneihem, and don't be broken in front of them. So we now explain what these things are. Al yirach levavachem, don't let your heart be faint. What would that happen? Mebnei tzahala susim, from all the neighing their horses are making. V'tzichtzuch charavos, and like they're flashing swords. Al tirtu, al tiru, don't be afraid. Mebnei hagafas trisin, from the, like, the smashing, crashing of the sound of them locking their metal shields together. V'shifas hakalgasin, from their many kalgasin. According to Rashi, kalgasin is their many, like, troops. But the Bartanura goes with the Rambam, that we're talking about some kind of weird, like, curved stick they'd use to sort of whack, kind of like, almost like hockey sticks or golf clubs, something, to whack rocks and smash rocks towards the Jews. Al tachpazu, don't panic. Mikol karanos, from the sound of the, like, the trumpets, the shofars they're blowing. Al ta'artzu mipnei kol tzavachos, and don't be broken from the noise of the soldiers themselves screaming, your enemy soldiers. The Ibn Ezra says, like, these different levels, the fear is like being afraid in your inside, the panic is to run away, the tachpazu is to be like, you know, be weakened and broken internally so you wouldn't fight as well as you could. The Mishnah continues again, quoting more of the Psukim. Ki Hashem Elokeichem aholach imachem, because Hashem, your God, is going with them. Lilachem lachem im oyveichem lohashiaschem, to fight your enemies, to save you. So it sounds like Hashem is walking with you. Now, obviously, Hashem doesn't walk literally. So the Mishnah is saying Hashem is with them in spirit, for starters. Hen ban benitzchonol shel basar v'dam, their plan, like their secret weapon, what they're relying on is human strength. But you are planning to win based on having Hashem at your side. The Plishtim, the Philistines, bo benitzchono shel galios, they came with Goliath, thinking that was, you know, for 40 days Goliath had like a showdown with them to intimidate them. But mahaya sofo, what happened in the end? Lasof nafal b'cherav v'nafal imo. In the end, David HaMelech, in the time of Shaul HaMelech, you know, slew Goliath, and everyone, the rest of the Plishtim went with him. Bnei Amon are like people from like modern day northern Jordan, the Ammonites. So Bo Mnitzchono Shel Shovach, the story told, they went to employ this person from Aram, like basically Syria. This guy Shovach was like a big scary military general and sort of strategist, and they were relying on him. Mahaya Sof, what happened to him in the end? Lasof Nafal Becherav V'Naflu Imo. And in the end, Amon, both Shovach and Amon fell to the sword. The Tver Yisrael suggests that the first one, Goliath, is about like physical strength, and but Shovach is sort of like, you know, mental, you know, war strategy. But not both those are not any match to Hashem. Va'atem, iatem ken. You're different. You Jews are different because you're coming b'nitzchono shel makom, you're coming relying on Hashem to help you. And the pasuk says, ki Hashem elokechem aholech imachem lehilachem lachem, God's walking with you to wage war with you, for you. So what does it mean Hashem's walking with you? Zeh machne ha'aron. That's referring to the fact that the Aron of Bris, which had the luchos inside of them, would come with them to war, and Hashem would be in their presence. It's a machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. According to Rashi, there were two different aronos, two different arons, if you will, arks. And according to Rashi, there was an ark besides the ark that Bezalel made, which had the luchos which were inside the Kodesh Kodashim, there in the Mishkan and later in the Mikdash. So there was a second aron ark that Moshe Rabbeinu made. That was, we learn Parshas Ekev. Hashem says, the pasuk there, it says, starts psalacha to make the luchos, the second luchos. It also says, vasisa lacha aron eitz, make like a wooden ark. And according to Rashi, that was a second ark in which the shivri luchos, the first set of luchos which were broken, were kept. And that was the one that went out to war. And the Bezalel's aron with the not broken luchos stayed and the Mishkan. The Ramban understands there's only one Aron, and they actually went out with them to war. That was captured by the Plishtim and so on. And whatever it is, Hashem is with them and walking with them, not literally, of course, but at least through his proxy, the Aron and the luchos that were inside of it to help wage war for Klal Yisrael.